You're having a good morning. I hope it's been a continual act of worship this morning through waking up, through driving here, through Sunday school, through singing His praises, and we're going to continue to worship right now as we break down God's Word. I just love when we get to gather with the people of God. We have the Spirit of God, and we're about to open the Word of God. And that's what got the gospel out when we read in the book of Acts. And my prayer this morning is that as we open the Word, this is God's Word, and my desire is that we would never become just bland with the Word of God. Man, this is literally, it's a pleasure, it's a blessing. We get to open up God's Word, we get to break open God's Word, we get to read God's Word, and we get to apply it to our lives. And it's a blessing because we're hearing from God, His Word. It's easy for it to just become another book. It's easy for it to just become another thing we do in the morning. But this is actually God's Word that we're about to open and dive into and hear from Him. Like, we don't have to bust open the roof. He's here, and we're about to open His Word, and we're going to hear from Him. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be journeying through the book of Philippians. We'll be in Philippians chapter 1 this morning. We've been able to journey through this. It's been awesome with the students to be able to journey through the book of Philippians with them, and we're going to journey now on Sunday mornings through the book of Philippians, and we're going to walk through what it looks like to have joy in Christ. Especially in the midst of, we're going through a transition as a church. There's multiple different things going on in your life, different things going on in our world today. And my question to you, do you have joy? Do you know what joy is? And especially when we're going to break down the book of Philippians, and you're going to see the background of Philippians, I know the purpose of Philippians, and where Paul's writing this, it will blow your mind when he says your joy is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. And how he can have joy, and we can absolutely have joy today because it's only found in Jesus. So we're going to break down this morning what the characteristics of joy look like, but to give you a little brief introduction, through the book of Philippians, joy is mentioned at least 16 times in 4 chapters, one of the shortest books. So if it's hard for you to read scripture and you get bored with it, read the book of Philippians. It's very short, but one of our most powerful books we have. Everything is God-breathed, but Philippians is short. But you see in 4 chapters, joy mentioned, or its verb form, rejoice, at least 16 times. And you see Paul used Christ at least 50 times in 4 chapters. So you see quickly the theme of this book is that joy is found in Christ. And if you don't believe me, just read the book this week. I actually encourage you take what I say and go and read it this week. I know we're reading through a lot of stuff in small groups. You're going through the book of Mark and other different studies, which is awesome. But I actually encourage, if you have time, read the book of Philippians and journey with us as we're going to journey through this time. Because I don't want you to think that I'm just standing up here yakking my own opinion. And this is just what Scripture says. And we're going to see where joy is found. And my biggest encouragement as an introduction to this morning, there's a difference between joy and happiness. It was really cool. I got to take the youth through this, and I actually passed out papers, and I just did like a poll just to see what they thought joy was, and I don't have enough time to do that this morning. I would have loved to do that to see who has a better answer than who, but what would we define joy as? Because a lot of people would define joy as being happy, but there's a difference between joy and happiness. There's a huge difference. Let me break that down for you right now. Happiness is actually an attitude of delight based upon a present circumstance. It happens or it may not happen. It's related to chance. It's a response to a circumstance in life. There's a chance that you can be happy today, or there's a chance that you may not be happy today. It comes, it goes. Your emotions change. And so what Paul is talking about here in the book of Philippians is not being happy in Christ. When he's talking about joy that Paul and any follower of Christ experience are not some emotional feeling that lifts you up one moment and drops you off the next depending on circumstances. Catch this. It's a deep down confidence that all is well no matter what the circumstance is. That true joy can only be found in Christ. It's only going to be found in Christ. That is why when you're sitting in a prison and you're waiting your execution at any moment, you can have joy. And that's exactly what Paul is doing. He is in barracks. And what's cool, our students even know this. At this point, when he was in prison, it wasn't just like our normal prison today that you can do whatever you want. The barracks, the prison he was in, he would have been chained to a Roman guard. Every 12 hours, they were side by side, he was chained to them, and they would take 12-hour shifts. So he was always on lockdown with these guys, and he says, your joy is found in Christ. Just grasp the part of this, and only Christ can provide this joy. So some of you, right now, your life might look like terrible. Chaos. Whatever it looks like, you can find joy in the midst of it. It's only going to be found in Christ. And I love to break down as simple as possible. Happiness happens, but joy abides. Happiness happens, but joy abides. So, y'all read the text with me. If you're available, if you're possible, would you stand and read God's word with me? We'll be in Philippians 1:1-11. God's word says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer, for you are all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you that you have saved us. You've called us to live different. So speak this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you can be seated. So the title this morning is The Characteristics of Joy. And we're going to see three different characteristics that Paul is going to talk about of joy. And so the first one is a shared joy. It's going to be on the screen. Our notes will be on the screen. So if you like to take notes, maybe. I tell this to the students all the time. And this might be weird. If you don't have pen and you don't have paper, just write on your neighbor's arm or something. What this does, it gives me your attention. And when you're in tune with me. So notes will be on the screen. First one is a shared joy. Look at verse 3 and 5. Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you are making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. When Paul opens up in the first few verses, he's talking about who he is, who's he's with, and who he's writing to. And then he jumps in the first thing of shared joy. Paul opens up by saying that he's praying for them, and he's praying for them with joy. And so why is he praying for them with joy? It's because of their partnership in the gospel. Because they were with him through the tough times. They were with him through the good times. They were with him through the hurts. They were with him through everything. You see through this book that the church of Philippi was extremely dear to Paul. It wasn't like the church of Corinth that he's ripping them and correcting them. Philippi was extremely close to Paul. Financially, they supported him. They loved him. They cared for them. So he had a close connection with them. And the ultimate thing that they had a partnership in the gospel. Their heart was to get the gospel out. And so it was a joy when he would think of Philippi. He would think of a joy. It would bring him excitement to pray for them because he knew what their heart's purpose. He knew what God was doing in the community there. Every time he prayed for them, he had joy. There's so much value in shared joy with believers in Christ. There's so much value. There's unity. There's a joy. There's a purpose that is held in common with other believers. We don't just gather here for no reason when we come on Sunday morning with multiple people here. That's why we don't just go in one room, each person by themselves. There's a purpose. We see it perfectly modeled in the Godhead. In the Trinity, they model what perfect community and perfect harmony looks like and what it's supposed to be modeled for us. We were never supposed to live this Christian life alone. We're always supposed to live in unity with each other. And so when he talks about having this shared joy, I want you to think about students. You're here. You're finishing up college. A lot of you, at some point, you were in college. At some point, you were in school. And you remember, some of you, the test you might be studying for right now, it's almost finals. It might be economics. It might be psychology, and you might hate that I'm even bringing up these subjects because you know that you're studying for them. Math, whatever it is. Do you remember that it might be one exam that you took so much time studying for? You put hours in. You even felt more spiritual because you was being a good, you were being good with your time. You were studying. And when you took the test and you made an A, wasn't it one of the greatest excitements you've ever had? That you spent, you knew all the time investment you put into it. How much greater was it when you went tell someone else about it? When you went share that excitement and passion you had, because all the effort, all this time you put into it, when you shared this passion you had and this accomplishment you had, it brought you so much more joy. It completed your joy when you share it with someone else. Same thing with you and I, guys. When we share, when we walk together in our Christian lives, it brings a deeper joy. That's why we push and all the time of having accountability groups, meeting with one another, sharing your pains with one another, because a shared joy is a deeper joy. Live this life with one another, especially when we're walking with Christ. And is this how we share our joy with one another? We just keep everything to ourselves and we try to live this life alone. Look in verse 7 and 8. This is how Paul shares his joy. Verse 7, he says, "It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." That's the type of shared joy you and I are supposed to have. How often do we think of each other and pray for each other and communicate to each other? Paul still had a shared joy with them, and he was locked up in prison, and that's how much he cared for them, because he couldn't help but want to communicate with them and send letters to them because of the connection and community he had. When we think of our brothers and sisters in Christ, do we think to send them? We have all the access possible. We have social media. We have text message to communicate and share encouragement with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have this unity with one another. Do we share this? I don't know. Many of you like to play sports, football, golf. You know me. Golf is the greatest sport in the world, greatest thing ever known. And this week is the greatest week known. Even though you might not play golf, you might know what this week is. It's Masters Week. Come on. The greatest week outside of the resurrection of Jesus, or outside of my marriage. It's the greatest week possible. If you ask my wife what every date was this week, watching the Masters. Some of you, football might be your excitement, baseball, basketball, hockey, football, gymnastics, I don't know, you fill in the blank. How fun is it when you go to a game, especially like an LSU football game, and you have someone sitting there with you to strategize the last play, or to talk about Drew Brees' last interception, to talk about whatever possible, and you could strategize and talk about it and get excited. It makes the game so much funner than just sitting at home and listening by yourself on the radio. Right? I don't know how much more I can break this down to say, that's how our walk with Jesus is supposed to be with other believers. It's shared with community. I promise you, it brings a deeper joy. If you don't have someone that you constantly meet with, I encourage you, that might be a response today, find someone you would share your joy in Christ with. It will bring you, you walk through the pain, you walk through the trials, it makes your joy stronger. That's why when Paul thought of the church of Philippi, it brought him joy. He had a shared joy. Second characteristic is a confident joy. Look at verse 6. Verse 6, Paul says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." This has got to be the greatest reason we can have joy. From this passage, first off, it's God who began the work of salvation in your life. It's God the one who began the initiative and sought after us. It wasn't based on our goodness of why we can earn salvation. It wasn't based on how many Sunday services you made, or how many Sunday schools you made, or how many Wednesday nights you made. Our salvation is not based on our goodness before God. Our salvation is based on the work that Christ has shown us through his grace and took the initiative and pursued us. This is why we have confident joy. Our salvation is not based on what we've done, but on the work that Christ has done. That is great news. Because if it was based on human responsibility, on us, we would fall short every single time. Paul says, that's why he hammers it. Just, you've heard it quoted so many times, just read it. Romans 3, he says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you look at the heart of that passage, and it's a continual action. We daily fall short of the glory of God. So if it was base our joy on our goodness toward God, we would be eternally separated from a holy God. There's nothing we can do to earn His goodness. He began a good work in you. You know what's awesome second about that thing? God continues the work. God is not some deist that sits in heaven, that started the world, and is spinning and waiting for it to just stop. And says, you know what? Well, whenever it stops, the world will be done, and is not caring and not having any interaction. I'm a perfect example that God has not given up. When I look back at my life 6 years ago where Christ saved me, I see that He's continually, daily, making me look more and more like Christ every single day. And I daily fall and mess up. But that is why the Spirit of God is working inside of me and convicting me of sin and drawing me more to Himself. And that's why Paul says in Romans 8:29 that we are being conformed into the image of Christ through the Spirit of God. God is daily working in your life. This is why you can have confidence in your joy that He has not given up on you. It wasn't a one-time ticket to heaven when you surrendered your life to Jesus, but God is daily acting, working in your life. And He's not given up on you. Even though your life might look like chaos right now, He has not given up on you. He's still working in your life. Remember, salvation is a process that we've been saved, we have been saved, we're being saved, and one day we ultimately will be saved in glorification and see Him face to face. This is why we still messed up. He's still working on us. How awesome is that? Even after He saved us, transformed us, and dwelt His Spirit inside of us, we still fall short. He still is actively working in us. And so many times we forget that truth. And we allow that to rob our joy. We think, man, we've messed up too much. I've done too much sin. I've been living like this too much. We think that, well, there's no way God can still love me. Follower of Jesus, young man, young woman, regardless of how many times you've messed up and failed, the God of the universe is still working on you and still loves you. Please don't forget that truth. Declare that truth over your life. Third thing about this, about having confident joy, is God will finish what He started. God will. That is a promise. This is the few of the greatest things you see in Scripture is you hold God to His promises. And you see right here in Scripture, this is a promise from God through the writing of Scripture. And in verse 6, He says, "And I'm sure of this, that He who began a good work," you see that Christ started the work, "in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." This isn't just a suggestion, guys. This is a promise from a holy God that He will finish the work that He started in you. This truth is the main reason you can have confident joy, is because your eternal security in Christ. We already know the end. We're victorious. He's going to bring us through. He will complete the work He's done in us. I want you to just listen to this passage. I read it over. A lot of you have heard this passage. But listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39. Paul says this: "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." Catch this. "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor present things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." As a promise, God Himself. That is why you can have confident joy. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. And Jesus says it Himself in John 10:28, "That I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." And a promise from God that your eternal security is in His hands. And that is why you have confidence. When we truly surrender our lives to Him, He will never let us go. Never. Think about that, child of God. Believe that. Much of Christian teaching is missing this confidence today. The focus is on human responsibility and not on the work that God has done and is continuing to do and will do. You have confidence in Jesus. Stop living life in defeat. You live life in joy because of the work Christ has done and is doing and will do to complete your life. You have confidence in Jesus. And this does not cause us to be lazy. If someone ever says, well, then if you teach like that, then I'm going to live however I want. The problem with that, they don't understand the grace of God and they're not saved and they don't know Jesus. When you understand what Christ has done for you and what he's doing and what he will do, it makes me run to him and follow him and serve him because I know I don't deserve it and he daily pours his love on me. That's the grace of God. That's the work he's doing in your life and will continue to do. So if someone preaches anything else, it's a lie. You have confidence in Christ. Third thing, third characteristic is increasing joy. Look at verse 9. Following. Paul says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Paul is praying that they would continue to grow. That their love for him would abound more and more. He says the same thing to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians. He tells them that your love, my prayer, that your love would abound more and more. Follower of Jesus, don't think that you've come to a point in your life that you have abounded enough in love, that you've pursued Jesus enough. You can continue to pursue him more and more. He's even acknowledged that this church has done that, that they've supported him. They've loved Jesus. They've surrendered to Jesus. They've made disciples. And his encouragement is increase more. Follow Jesus more. Serve him more. Know him deeper. First Baptist Thibodeau, that is my encouragement to you. As you've been following Jesus, maybe 1 year or 10 years, follow him more. Continue to serve him. Continue to know him. Continue to read his word. Continue to seek him in prayer. Continue to worship him. Continue to share the gospel. We don't get complacent in our Christian life. The Christian life is not stagnant, but growing. We experience joy as we become more and more like Christ. You want to know what true joy feels like? Continue to pursue him more and more. It'll change your view of trials. It'll change your view of temptation. It'll change your view of pain. More and more we become like him. He wants us to grow more and more in our love for Jesus, not just some emotional feeling. Church is not just about getting some cool lights in here, getting some cool music, getting someone that could talk really loud and have a cool, nice building. The purpose of the church is to know Jesus, follow him, and share him, regardless of whatever we meet, whatever the circumstance looks like. Fall in love with Jesus. My desire, my prayer, I cannot make you follow Jesus, only the Spirit of God could, but my heart and encouragement, young man and young woman, older man and older woman, follow Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. We want to see our community radically changed. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with his word. Fall in love with his people. And fall in love with sharing him. See our community radically change. We don't need a cool new program. We don't need different lights. We need the people of God to become passionate about the Spirit of God and the Word of God and be willing. Continue to increase in your relationship with God. And how this happens? Through Bible intake, prayer, worship, continue to know him. One of the coolest experiences, I guess the way I can even break this down more, I remember the first time I ever went snowboarding, and I was in Colorado. I don't know if you've ever been to Colorado. It's one of the most beautiful mountains. You go in the wintertime, the snow is nothing like we would ever describe here because you never see that, but it's extremely powder, very beautiful. Snowboarding is one of my favorite things to do. I remember when I got to the top of one of the mountains, outside of being scared to death, was one of the most beautiful sights. I took so many pictures of all these, because you can see mountains forever when you're up there. You feel like, man, I just see the end of, I can see Rome or something from here. Like, you can see forever. It's beautiful. Admiring the beauty of it. But I didn't just sit at the top of the mountain and just admire the beauty. You know what? As I continued to go down the mountain, I began to see even how intricate and how beautiful some of these personal mountains were, and got to see the difference, things that I would have never seen if I would have just sat at the top of that mountain. But as I went down the mountain, I got to see the beauty so much more as I went down. And guys, follower of Jesus, Some of us are just sitting where we've been 3 years ago when we gave our life to Jesus, just stagnant. God has so much more for your life. Continue to go deeper with him. Continue to follow him more. And you will see him do things in your life that only he can do. Follower of Jesus. Fall in love with him. Those are the characteristics of joy. You see, a shared joy, a confident joy, and an increasing joy. And as we're going to respond, the gospel demands a response. It's easy to come in here and it just be the same thing you do every single Sunday, but my question to you is, do you know Jesus? Joy in Christ starts with joy in Christ, starts with faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot know joy apart from Jesus. You'll be miserable your entire life. Submit to Jesus. Allow the Spirit to continue to convict you of sin and draw you to himself and submit to Jesus. And follower of Jesus, what does your joy look like? What does your daily walk with him look like? When I pray and we respond and we have the music, it's going to sound amazing. Jared sounds awesome. Respond however you feel led. You could respond in your pew. You could come to the altar. You could pray with someone that you came with. You can pray with me. The desire is for you to respond. I'm not going to dim the lights to make it get more emotional. Just respond to the Word of God. Pray with me. Father, thank you for this morning.